The Bloomington City Council appointed members of a new transportation commission, discussed making the Downtown Bloomington Association part of city government, talked about a full-time mayoral assistant, and approved new signage on the back of Connect Transit buses. In the studio to talk about some of that and a recent trip to Japan is Mayor Terry Renner. Terry, thanks for joining us on Sound Ideas.
Thanks. Good to be here.
I want to ask about some recent exchanges you've had on a right-leaning blog about your trip to Asayakawa, Japan. But first, let's talk about the Sister Cities program. Why is it important?
Well, Sister Cities program is 55 years old. It's critical in terms of educational, cultural exchanges, economic exchanges. And essentially, every year we have students who come here from Asayakawa. And every year we have students that go to Asayakawa. And that usually those are junior high students, somewhere around 15 years old, because they want to be old enough to be able to do this and go through the experience. And every year, about 35 students come here, and I host them in City Hall. I not only show them my office, I show them how we vote in our council chambers. So there's definitely some important educational, cultural components to the exchange. And there have been some economic changes. Some have suggested one of the reasons why we got Mitsubishi in the first place is because we had a sister city arrangement with Asayakawa. The other thing I can say is the people in Asayakawa were so gracious. And it's that, of course, they also know that it takes you 2 days basically to get there and 2 days to get back, and you're only there for 4.5 days. So they make sure. We were busy, but they were very gracious.
So a cultural and economic exchange.
Yeah, absolutely. And then we had people meet with members of their vice principals and principals to try to figure out ways that we can even increase those educational exchanges. When they put it, we were there for their 50th anniversary of their zoo. And when they put their zoo in, we had a 5-year arrangement. And, we were very, very helpful for them in terms of putting in their first zoo.
So 55 years this year.
55 years. And just to clarify, it's every 5 years they come here and we host them. And every 5 years we go there and host them. So this is about an every decade trip. Chris Coos has been there once, and he was there 10 years ago. And then I actually got a humanitarian aid award this time. Coos got it 10 years ago, but you can't get it more than once. So that's why I got it and he didn't.
So how much did it cost the city of Bloomington? And obviously you think it's worth the cost.
Yeah, well then that's really difficult to say, because much of this, most people fund their own. In fact, the city's sister cities, I believe the only ticket that the sister cities committee, the delegation that was paid for by the city of Bloomington was my ticket. And I think the only ticket in Normal was Chris Coos's. And so there are also money from State Farm and local businesses and others, philanthropic organizations. So I think that this is it. This is the first time in two generations where anyone has tried to raise any kinds of questions.
And that's my question. Why do you think this program is now coming under attack after decades of non-controversy and the community actively embracing it and promoting it?
Again, we've had I don't know why. Well, I do know that we have a very small group of very noisy people who are really against everything since the invention of the wheel. And so this is really the first time that we've seen anything here. And this is just part of our city government, where a very small group of people are just occupying a large portion of our staff and legal time trying to throw bombs at just about everything.
So let's talk about your significant other's ticket. I understand the city of Bloomington's legal opinion is that the city could have just simply paid for her ticket. She did reimburse the city. What's the issue?
There is no issue, and that's the point. People bring up issues and brag about filing complaints with the state police. Well, you can file complaints with state police about just about anything. And that's what's exhausting after a while. And from my perspective, there's always the question of, okay, why would you respond? Well, 99.9999% of the time, I don't bother to respond. When it involves somebody that you care about, it's a little harder, and especially when it's been time after time after time about this. Like one of the people that I responded to, Bruce Meeks, is not just somebody who constantly FOIA's stuff. It's somebody who I had to nearly get a restraining order on during the last campaign, who challenged my petitions over nothing, who's just constantly costing, frankly, me and the taxpayers money.
What would have been the grounds of that restraining order?
Because he was in two debates at cities. He was right in my face, and there were campaign workers, fortunately, who, and I'm not going to hit him, but that's probably what he was looking for.
So you think he was being provocative?
Oh, he was being more than provocative. He was absolutely in my face yelling at me. Within about 2 inches.
So this right leaning blog that
I don't think it's right leaning. I think you can be right. I would say you can be like my father was a conservative Republican. I think you can be a conservative Republican. These people aren't conservative.
So how would you describe the blog that we're not naming?
Fanatics.
Okay.
Regardless of ideology. There are left-wing, right-wing fanatics
sure.
as well.
So the person behind this blog on July 31st, you threatened to sue her. Why?
Because essentially she was saying things that were absolutely, totally untrue. And also, it wasn't so much mine. The attorney that handled my petitions is the one who said that, you know, you really should take legal action. I said, yeah, but I'm a political figure. This is hard. But when you actually go after someone who's a private citizen, that's where there's a lower legal threshold.
Are you going to sue her?
At this point, because there's so much attention over nothing, I doubt it.
So,
somebody needs to draw the line here. This is the kind of nasty, vicious political stuff that we have.
Do they have to draw a line, or could both sides just walk away?
Well, one side is not going to walk away. I mean, we're talking about the equivalent of rabid attack dogs who are not going to go away. And I don't know what the answer is.
So
probably suing would probably put a smile on their face because they could be on the front page of the Pantograph, or we'd be talking about them like we are right now. And they're largely irrelevant to anything except that they cost the city taxpayers a lot of money.
So just this week, you sent an email to one of the blog supporters. You mentioned him by name, Bruce Meeks. That email was sent at 2:46 in the morning in response to a suggestion that you self-report the spending on the trip to Japan to the state police. That sort of sounds like what we're getting from the White House, those sorts of late night, you know, emails and tweets.
Essentially, after getting back from Japan, I've been doing a lot of
my work. So it was jet lag.
I've been doing a lot of my work at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning. I'm all messed up because it does take you 2 days to get back there. But at the end of the day, there was nothing to self-report.
Sure.
So the city had already given all the information. And again, the point is there would have been no violation of ordinance or law, even if the city had paid for Margo's ticket, right? I mean, this is now just gone. And I got several emails this morning that said, why are you wasting money spending
sure.
money? And so it's just where somebody keeps telling lies over and over again and then threatening action, which is just an absurdity. And this is not an isolated incident. This is basically how the city of Bloomington operates almost on a daily basis.
So you and I have spent about 10 minutes now talking about this. We could be talking about something else. I don't know that we would be talking about it had you not sort of engaged or gotten involved. You have a playbook in trying to advance the city. It's what you ran on, and it's what got you elected. Wouldn't you be better served by us talking about the Transportation Commission or generating headlines about downtown?
Absolutely.
Instead of giving others the opportunity to generate headlines?
Absolutely. And as I say, it's the couple of times where I have responded, it's involved not attacks on me, because I'm gutted like a fish every day.
When it involves
people that I care about, either my son or my partner, that's just so bitty. And when this wasn't the first, this was over. The people in Japan 2 weeks ago, now 2.5 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, I guess, just now, were freaking out.
Sure.
2.5 weeks ago,
but it
because every single one of the sister cities, all of their finances were FOIA'd, and I said that doesn't mean it's an investigation. That doesn't mean there's anything wrong. We've just got a group of people who, frankly, have nothing better to do than to try to poke through things and to try to find a gotcha thing here or there. And I guess that, you know, feeds their psychological needs.
But it sounds like you're admitting here that this doesn't really help you politically to engage.
No.
Okay. That's Mayor Terry Renner. This is Sound Ideas. Bloomington Normal's mayors join us most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Town of Normal Mayor Chris Koos. Let's talk about something substantive here.
Okay.
As mayor, downtown continues to be one of your priorities. Let's talk about your proposal for the city to essentially absorb the Downtown Bloomington Association.
Well, I don't know that that's my proposal. It's something that
it's
I support.
Proposal.
I support. Obviously, I support just about anything that will improve downtown. This is one thing. The cost of it looks like it's going to be higher than we can afford right now. And that doesn't necessarily mean that we can't help. We could, for example, maybe bring DBA staff within City Hall so that at the very least for the next year they don't have to pay rent. that could be an additional contribution. And it's, frankly, no skin off our backs or minimal cost to the taxpayer. So there are some things, and there's some value to that. In the town of Normal, that's the way it works.
Sure. And in a lot of cities.
Most any city that really has a successful downtown, you've got a team that's in place within your city government to make things happen and to provide services for your downtown business people and residents and to try to move projects forward in a proactive way.
So that's the change, possible change, and what would be gained?
Essentially, you have one-stop shopping. And within the city government, someone who has authority. Rather than right now, Tricia does an outstanding job in many ways, of course, as director of DBA, but she's outside the city government.
So you don't,
and sometimes it's difficult for her to figure out, okay, who do I go to and how do I get this problem fixed?
So you don't think the city can actually afford this at this point? It might be something in the next budget cycle?
Well, that's what the council will make a determination on. The sticker shock on that, I think, was higher than people thought.
About $187,000, is that?
Additional.
Additional.
Right, and that's what we will see if we can afford that.
So
that determination has not been made. Last night was just pure discussion on a variety of fronts.
Sure. Yeah, the council didn't vote on this. How would it work if it moves forward? Would the DBA become part of the Community Development Department under Tom Daberiner?
Essentially. I mean, there are some other structural issues. They would continue to raise private funds. They would continue to charge fees for the farmers market if they continue to operate that. There are any number of things. But essentially, that's what we're talking about, because community development should include our downtown.
And this wouldn't be at the expense of other parts or other business districts in the city?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, we're working very hard on trying to get, to revitalize Eastland Mall, all of our so-called underperforming properties in older neighborhoods, disproportionately older neighborhoods.
And we've heard many people during Sound Ideas, you and others, say a strong downtown benefits every ward.
Absolutely.
It's Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy. Mayor Terry Renner's in the studio. Let's talk about the job of mayor and your proposal for an assistant. How many hours do you put in to fulfill those duties on a weekly basis?
That, you know, varies tremendously. On the low side, there are probably a few weeks where I spend less than 40 hours a week as mayor. Mostly it's far more than that. And sometimes it's just because there are a wide variety of people who want answers.
So under 40 or above 40, but it's somewhere around 40.
It's always over. Well, I should say it's almost always over 40. But there are some times where if it's light, maybe 30, 35 hours, that would be the very, very low end. And so there's so many different tasks that the mayor's performing. And an administrative assistant, I was proposing. There were very few council members who were interested in supporting that. There were some who said maybe part-time or a compromise. And one thing that I did distribute last night is that, okay, if we're not going down this path, it's important to have this discussion because it's just not real. We are, whether we like it or not, we are a metro city. And that comes with lots of media responsibilities. It comes with intergovernmental responsibilities. There are so many aspects to being mayor: economic development, citizen complaints, working and talking with city council members. So I had envisioned this really as a mayor council position.
So it's an assistant for the mayor and the council.
Absolutely. And in fact, I have a good friend who held this position in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, who said that he had talked with council members far more than the mayor during the course of a typical week. Because you find, okay, what do you need to accomplish? And then you work to say with the different council members, okay, you've got this problem. Let's circle back with the mayor.
Sure.
So it's communication, it's time management, it's strategic scheduling. All of those things.
I just wonder if some people have a grasp of what your job as mayor is.
I mean, I think unless you're mayor, I don't think you do.
They see you at a council meeting, and if they have to ask you something or deal with a problem, then they understand that part of it. But I suppose the duties of mayor run from the mundane all the way to going to the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Can you give me an example of something that ate up a lot more time than you thought it would actually eat up?
sure.
A particular duty that, you know, fell on your shoulders?
Well, initially it was trying to get department heads and others to do their jobs. And that has gone down dramatically, especially with the culture change that we've instituted, that you've got to be responsive to citizen concerns. Scott Black in particular spent all kinds of time, particularly in his ward. We have spent problems with code enforcement. Now we have an administrative court, so we can haul people in. If your property's in bad shape, usually it's absentee landlords, fix up your property or we will fine you and you'll still have to fix up your property. So that was really intense, and now that's gone down. In fact, that's gone down quite dramatically. But people call me all the time, and that's fine. And in, for example, what I mean by strategic scheduling, if let's say we've got some sort of economic issue and there are seven business owners who want to talk to me, okay? Not unusual, and I'm just picking a number. Mm-hmm. It might be that three of those seven owners play nicely together and can be scheduled together, but that I need to talk to the first and the second before I get to talk to the group of three. And only somebody who understands the politics and the policymaking can really make that kind of strategic scheduling to make best use of the mayor's time.
More efficient.
To make it much more efficient. And, you know, you can be a type A like I am and, you know, try to answer questions and try to answer emails even in the middle of the night or try to do what's necessary. But in the long term, it's unsustainable because only an unusual person or a person like myself who also has a job where Illinois Wesleyan has been very helpful in stacking my classes and, you know, working with me on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, or somebody who's independently wealthy. Those are about the only people who are realistically going to be mayors.
Would this position be a political appointee? Would they serve the next mayor who may have vastly different political views than you?
Well, that's what my proposal was, to make what people call a political appointee. And all that means is that the next mayor isn't stuck with the person that I would hire.
Unless they want him.
Unless they want him or her. That's absolutely right. And so I said, you know, however you want to do this, I would recommend, you know, my thought was I would recommend that the mayor be able to hire this one person, just like every single countywide elected official has at least one first assistant. And that's their guy or gal who handles things for them, who can be their spokesperson. And that's also part of the task. But much of it is dealing with policymaking and communication and strategic scheduling and dealing with intergovernmental players. We have 192 local governments in McLean County and taxing authorities. So there are, to some degree, I deal with the other intergovernmental groups, certainly District 87, I was there yesterday, Unit 5, Binward, Bloomington Normal Water Reclamation District. Sometimes small town mayors have issues that get in contact with me, other rural agencies and governments, Connect Transit, Bloomington Normal Association of Realtors. I mean, the list kind of goes on and on. And I actually did have an alternative proposal to say, hey, if this is, you know, you don't support this, I have a couple of possibilities. I'd be willing to talk about a part-time job, although I don't know how this person would do it part-time, frankly, if they need to tail me or they need to be my representative. I would be certainly willing to talk about that. Or, council members, there are a lot of places where elected officials need to be involved. So will you be my liaison? And I had a list of assignments for liaison. For example, for Dave Sage, I asked for him to be the liaison to the Chamber of Commerce and be an advantage. Scott Black with the Bloomington Normal Realtors, et cetera. So I was trying to divvy up some of the tasks to step up to the plate.
Sure, to delegate some of those duties.
To delegate some of the duties, correct.
So where is council support? There wasn't strong support for the proposal. Why? For an assistant.
I think for two reasons. One is people were concerned about where we would get the money. The city manager had proposed that he had money that he could set aside. The salary as originally described to me was somewhere between $44,000 to $53,000. With benefits, it was going to be in the 60s. But when they made projections, they had to go to the top of the scale. And then if somebody joined and had a very big family, and so somehow they got into the $80,000 cost range. And I think some of the council members had sticker shock. I think some of it also is that some of the council members really don't understand what the mayor does on a daily basis, even some of the longer standing ones. Like I've been a department chair at Illinois Wesleyan on several occasions, overall for almost parts of 20 years. But I don't really know what the president of Illinois Wesleyan does until I'm in that position.
I think it's fundraising. That's what
I understand. I'm just drawing the analogy.
Yeah,
you're kind of close to it.
Yeah,
but
I'm joking. I understand your point. Yeah. So what was the council's reaction to sort of delegating some of these duties to them? Did you get any reaction or feel for whether or not they would be willing to take on additional duties?
Nobody said that they would, which is interesting. I did get criticism from Alderman Sage, who said, well, why did you spring this on us? And I said, I'm not asking you to respond to this particular thing. This is the beginning of a conversation. And I did put that together yesterday afternoon as just an idea of, hey, this is another possibility. If you're mayor, you have to have a plan B and a C and a D and an E, as I've said. And this was probably plan C or D, but this is one option. And I wasn't asking anybody to necessarily respond specifically to this.
So
it would have been nice if someone had said, hey, you know, we understand we have full-time jobs, you have a full-time gig, we will step up to the plate. It would have been nice. And I think there are several aldermen, maybe most, who would be willing to do that.
So where do you go from here?
Well, that's a good question. I'm going to circle back with the council to see whether or not we have another public discussion of this. Or do we focus only on one of the alternatives? If you're not interested in a mayoral aide, then is a part-time aide something on the table, or are you willing to step up to the plate and do more, and do more responsibilities as I had outlined in a memo that I distributed yesterday?
Okay. Terry Renner is the mayor of Bloomington. Thanks, as always, for stopping by Sound Ideas.
Great. Thank you.
Terry Renner is the mayor of Bloomington. The community's mayors join us most Tuesdays following Monday evening council meetings. Next week, you'll hear from Town of Normal Mayor Chris Coos. This is GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media.